This media has been presented to you by the Maryland Men of Faith, where men are challenged and encouraged to form the character of Christ. For more information, please visit mmof.org.
Father God in heaven, what a blessing it is to come before thy throne of grace and glory. And I pray in a very special way that as we do this presentation, very important presentation on personal finance, that you will be the one speaking and not this broken servant. May you be the one opening the word and taking us through the specifics of this topic that is destroying many families and many couples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the first things that I'd like to take you through when I talk about personal finance is this right here. Because this is the foundation of personal finance. Say amen. Amen. This is it. Keep God as what? Owner, partner, and counselor of your finances. Amen? That's the first thing you must know. You must keep God as your owner, partner, and counselor. He owns everything. And we have to acknowledge that. Why is money important? Why is that? Well, it affects our spiritual success. It also affects our families. It affects our stress level. I still have not met one person that goes to bed at night and has a pile of bills outstanding and is able to sleep well. I still have not. And I've talked about personal finances for a long, long time, and you still have that on the back of your head. Stability of our marriage. Long-term planning for retirement. More and more people are ending up their careers broke. So you have to make sure that you plan accordingly so that when you retire, you have enough funds to be able to survive. But let's talk about finance here real quick. And the truth. It has been said people spend money they don't have for things they don't what? They don't need in order to impress people they don't even like. But that's not the case in this room. I think you like everybody, right? Even your neighbors, as they buy new cars and stuff and toys, you like everybody. We love everybody. We follow Jesus Christ, right?
Amen. I love everybody, but I don't like everybody.
Ah, there's a difference, right? But we like to have what others have, even at the cost of indebtedness. Isn't that right? So we're going to talk about that. The ABCs of personal finance. You want to seek God's wisdom. You need to be organized. You've got to have a plan in place. You must have a plan in place. We serve a God of order. Say amen to that. Amen. We serve a God of order. So why are we going to be disorganized? We should not be. So discipline is another one. You want to make sure that you are disciplined enough to be able to manage your own finances. Take a look at this in here. Three of my favorite quotes. Natasha Munson, money, like emotions, is something you must control to keep your life on the right track. Isn't that right? Most people want to avoid pain, and discipline is usually what?
Painful.
Oh. Isn't that deep? No, I want to have money. I don't want to discipline myself. I don't want to go through that pain. But you still like the money. right? Dying possible. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Isn't that right? You have goals on one side and accomplishments on another side, on the other side, and in the middle you have what? The bridge. That's how you get from here to here. All right. So financial planning, personal finance, personal financial planning is the process of managing your money to achieve personal economic satisfaction. So how do we get started? We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of finances here. How do we get started? We seek God's wisdom and blessing throughout. We accept responsibility for our finances. We get organized. We write down our needs and our goals. We are disciplined. We are diligent in laying the foundation. And then we get educated. Workshops like this, we read books, newsletters, magazines, and then we ask for counsel from others. Take a look at this quote from Ellen G. White. "When you can stand forth a free man again, owing no man anything, you will have achieved a great victory." Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it is. And look at what scriptures talk about indebtedness. Romans 13, 7 to 8. Let's all read it together. 7. "Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxed are owed. Revenues to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." This talks about debt, talks about indebtedness, talks about plastic, credit cards, car loans, home loans, talks about personal loans. Do not owe anything to anyone. Just love one another. Amen? But let me share with you why personal finance is so important. And this is not me talking about this. This is outside sources that are talking about why it's important for you to know how to handle or manage your money. Married couples with kids are 75% more likely to be late paying their bills. And why is that? You have more mouths to feed. Isn't that right? When you fill out your W-4 through your payroll office, you're saying, "I have 3, 4, 5, 6 dependents. So I have to come up with money, more money, to sustain those lives," right? People spend 12 to 18% more when using credit cards than when using cash. And that's why sometimes when you're in trouble with your finances, the best thing to do is to get into a cash system so that you no longer borrow money that eventually you will not be able to repay because you don't have the earning power to do so. And even when you have the earning power to do so, most people that are in trouble financially live paycheck to paycheck, and the earning power that they have is irrelevant to their expenditure. That ratio is off. So we're going to talk about that a little later here. 65% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Look at that. Up from 49% last year and 43% in 2015. So this is a 15, 16, and 17. We're still on 2018, so that's not recorded in here. But I'm a financial guy, and when I have to, if I had to draw a PowerPoint graph on this last bullet point in here, the curve would go how? Upward, right? Pitiful. But Edwin, are you telling me this is so difficult here? Living paycheck to paycheck? Let me just say something. If you were to live paycheck to paycheck, you'd be okay. Certainly. Because what it means, paycheck to paycheck, is you have income, $3,000 a month of revenue, and then you also have expenditure of how much? $3,000 equal, so it's an in and out. And then your balance equals zero. But life is not perfect, isn't it? And something will happen that if you do not have a reserve account, a savings account, a contingency account, something is going to happen that your in and out is going to be off, and you're going to go to your plastic credit card or personal loan. Because life is not perfect. Take a look at this in here. 30% of Americans who have combined finances with their spouse admit to lying to their partners about money. Isn't that pitiful? Of these admitted liars, 58% said they had hid cash. 15% hid a secret bank account. 11% had lied about debts they owed. And 11% lied about how much money they earned. So you talk about a relationship. How could you establish a relationship with your spouse with these statistics? All about communicating with your spouse. According to Money Magazine survey, money causes more arguments between couples than intimate relations or even the in-laws. So, money management or money issues are the second leading cause of divorces, right behind infidelity. More specifically, 43% of people surveyed responded that they argue more about money than intimate relations, as opposed to 20% who said they argue more about intimate relations than money. Also reported by CNNMoney.com, 24% of the survey's participants said they argue more about money than doing chores, and 28% say they fight more about money than their own kids. 57% of households do not have a foundation, do not have a structure, do not have a budget. But Edwin, the thing is, every time I sit down and work out the numbers and crunch the numbers, I never balance. So I'm just sick and tired that I don't even want to think about it, and I just set it aside because it never balances. But then year after year, you see that your indebtedness keeps going up and you don't do anything about it. Hopefully we get to the budget session in here this morning, so I can show you what I mean about this. A recent study by Harris Interactive found that you can save $112,000 over a lifetime by bringing your lunch to work in a brown paper bag. Yeah. Nearly one-third of Americans pay the minimum due on their credit cards each month. So, if you have a Discover card, which is one of the worst, I'm not advertising for Visa or MasterCard, don't get paid for that. If you have a Discover card, it's kind of nice to pay $27 or $25 minimum payment every month. But have you thought about the breakdown of that payment, principal versus interest? $22 going to principal and perhaps $3, $2 going to your reduction of your balance. Right? So you've got to be very careful about this and sit down and reflect on what's happening with your indebtedness. Families today are 5 times more likely to file bankruptcy and 3 times more likely to lose their homes despite spending their money no more foolishly than their parents. So where have we learned back bad habits about money management? But if I did not learn it well from my folks, which I necessarily did, or I didn't really. Not that they were doing a bad job, but I'm a PK, a pastor's kid. And pastors normally don't know how to manage their own finances, right? And we have to help them out. All right? I don't necessarily have to follow their pattern or their counsel. We need to find a way on how to do that better. More than one in five of those earning $100,000 or more still live paycheck to paycheck. I consider that a pitiful statistic. I wish I can earn $100,000, but I don't, right? So what are you telling me? It's not how much you earn, but how you manage it. But Edwin, tell me something deeper, because I realize that this is simple math. I know that if I make $5 in here, I cannot spend $7 here. Give me something deeper. If it is as simple as you think, then why we as a country are realizing $1 trillion indebtedness and we don't know what to do with it? But it is simple, right? Well, apparently it's not as simple as it sounds. So it's not how much you make, but how you manage it. Meet the average American family. They have no mutual funds, no stocks, no bonds. $16,883 is a credit card balance. 19% have zero saved to cover emergency expenses. 31% have less than $500 in emergency savings. The house is worth $200,000, but the family owes $137,000 on that $200,000 note. They make $59,000 a year. 21% have no retirement savings at all. This is as of December 31, 2017. So, another truth. We've talked about it. It is not how much we make, but how we administer it. What are some of the considerations? Look at this in here. Saved for retirement. 21% has zero saved for retirement. 10% from $1 to $5,000, roughly $5,000 to $24,000 or $25,000. 9%, 10%, $25,000 to $75,000. And $75,000 to $125,000, 8%. Don't know that I have a pointer in here. Maybe I do. Oops, let me go back in here. But if you add those up in there, you're already up over or 50% of the general population in the U.S. Take a look at this in here. So when you retire, only 25% says $200,000 or more. Then what you do is, if you are planning to retire at the age of 65 or 67 for some of you, then you would quantify how many years do I plan to live. I wish we could do that, right? Huh? But you can't. We can't. Only God knows. But we have to be responsible to quantify at least a number of years. So if you go from 65 to 85, that's what, 20 years? Let's just do simple math. Will you be able to survive with $200,000? You take that and you divide it by the number of years that you're going to project living. Would that be enough? Would that take you through? But Edwin, see, you don't understand. I have Social Security. I'm all taking care of it. Let's talk about that. Isn't that a beautiful graph? So the end, this is end of year assets of Social Security Trust Fund. FICA is a combination of Social Security and Medicare, right? Take a look at that. Projection 2035. Look at what happens with that trust fund that you and I are relying on, that we're investing on. So what happens is, I'm not here to suggest that this fund will disappear, because if it does, whoever is president is going to end up like Mr. Kennedy, right, in Dallas? That's not what I'm suggesting. But if you're investing in the trust fund, Social Security Trust Fund, and you're thinking that your return on investment is going to be, for every dollar that you put in, you're going to get back when you're 65 or 67 and you apply for retirement, you'll get back 75 cents of that dollar that you invested, maybe that's not true. Maybe it'll be more like 35 or 45 or 50 cents. Right? So we have to be careful and not rely on Social Security. So let me talk to you about investment. I'm going to give you investment 101. Some of you have seen this bucket system, but this is a basic way of learning how to invest and the value of money. Right? All right. So what do you do with your income? What do you do with your income? Other than spend it, right? What do you do with your income? Pay bills, right? Go out to the Olive Garden too, and what else? Huh? Pay tithe and offerings. Okay. Let's see what we do. We acquire assets, right? We acquire assets, which obviously have material value, but we could also acquire liabilities, debt. Did you know that? It's funny, when you go to Google and you say, I got to be careful what name I use in here, but let's say Donald Trump, right? That's a bad example here. Especially on a Sabbath, right? But let's just for the sake of Donald Trump, what is Donald Trump's net worth? Have you ever done that? And you know, just pick some characters and use, what's their net worth, right? Now, we don't know his because of his tax returns, right? But let's, so we definitely don't. All right, so what you would find in there is what they're worth. Barack Obama and some of the other wealthy folks. So this is what it would look like. What they do is they take assets minus what they owe, right? Liabilities, and they end up with either net in green, right? Net worth, or like Michael Jackson, upside down with a negative net worth. That's the way they measure that. That's the way the ratio is, the formula. Okay? So you could end up with a positive net worth or a negative net worth. I want to end up with a positive net worth. Right? Now, of course, after Michael Jackson died, his net worth became positive. Right? Because of, you know, all of the stuff that was sold out of his estate, and it became positive. So he was worth more dead than alive. That sounds terrible, right? Yeah, that's why I don't talk to my wife about this stuff in here, because then I have to go and redo my will, and I don't want to do that. All right. So only you can build up or hurt your net worth. You own it. So what's the major influence on your net worth? What is it?
Spending.
Okay? Is your income. You control your income. Yes, you control your income. I've had a friend that So she makes $175,000 without bonuses. She works for the healthcare industry. So probably she hits $200,000 a year. Her husband is a pastor, so he makes a conservative amount of income. And low cost of living area, they buy a car every 4 years, right? In spite of their cars running well. And so she called me up and said, Edwin, I don't know what's going on because I have negative net worth. And I don't know what's happening. Could you help? And I said, well, that's fine. I'll pray about it. So I did pray about it, but then my wife said, yeah, quit praying about it and help him out. I said, no, so I ended up helping. You know how wives are. It's just, you got to do it, otherwise you get in trouble. So I ended up helping out, but what I discovered through the exercise with this friend was that they were spending 30% of their income eating out. 30%. They were upside down on their mortgage. They were making car payments. They had personal loans. They had student loans. They had all kinds of loans. And they still couldn't make it. Close to $275,000 of income. Okay? So you control your income, how you spend your income. So let's talk about this. Here's the income. Where is the income going? Bucket 1, 2, and 3. Very simple. Number 1, bucket 1 is what I call highly depreciation or high depreciation bucket. That's the bucket I don't like. That's the bucket that you should not like, right? So take a look at this in here. This is what, this is food. This is a veggie link, isn't it? Okay? That's really what that is. What happens is that you allocate your income to buy that and it immediately depreciates. It's gone. Notice that I'm not suggesting for you not to eat. Yes, you must eat. But what I'm saying in here is that what you invest on this in here goes out quickly. Right? It does not increase in value. It depreciates quickly. Yes, that's exactly what I was hoping not to hear. Some people don't know what I'm talking about, and they say amen, and that's wrong. The amen doesn't go here, right? Yes. So you're alert. You're alive. Okay? You're awake. Take a look at this. Food, gas, trips, gifts, entertainment. That's really what that is. Well, some people get emotional about this, and when we talk about bucket one, say, but Edwin, you don't understand. Entertainment is an emotional, it brings memory, so it has value. Yes, it does. It has value, and yes, it has the potential or the possibility to bring good memories when you have saved up for that entertainment. But it'll bring terrible memories and bad emotions when you go through it and then you get your credit card statement, right? And you look at it and you say, wow, how do I pay for this? 23% interest rate on whatever I chose to go through the entertainment. And then you go to the doctor, you spend money on your copayment, right? You get sick. And then your prescription for depression goes up, right? Because you see what I'm saying? So it's no longer good memories. And the devil is entertaining on you. You got to be very careful. All right? Bucket two holds value or depreciate slowly. Not as fast as bucket one, but you still realize depreciation. Okay? So what do you mean, Edwin? Cars. Ah, I love cars. I do. But I've got to be careful with cars. So, let me tell you about my baby. Yes. I have a 2006 Rick Honda Accord. Yeah, you thought I was going to say a Cadillac or something. No, 2006 Honda Accord, which I, you know, and by the way, I wash it every week. Yeah, it doesn't look terrible. Nice. I bought it in Shreveport, Louisiana, as I was serving as treasurer there for the Arkansas-Louisiana Conference. 0 miles. And the Lord blessed me with a neighbor who worked at the local Honda dealer. So I became good friends of him because I knew I was going to need a car. Yes. And he gave me such a great deal. And I bought it cash. Yes, I bought it with a credit card. Yes, 0% APR. Yes, and I did credit card surfing. Yes, and in 12 months, I paid it off. And it was awesome. He gave me a great deal. Well, the car, my car, I couldn't find parking close to this building in here, so I had to park near the church, all the way there. No, just close by in here. But when I parked my car out there this morning, it had 357,835 miles. If it hasn't been stolen when I get out there going back home, you know, unless, you know, well, it'll have a little more by the time the police finds it. But, you know, I'm proud of it. You know, it's never been in the shop. And I don't need any reason to change my vehicle. You know how many times I've depreciated my car? 5 times. You know what I've done with the money? I didn't put it on bucket 1 or 2. We'll get to bucket 3. Right? But whenever I need the funds to replace my car, I'm shooting for 500,000 miles. I want you to know that. Yes. And you know what I'm going to do? I've got my plan. I'm going to drive up to probably 5 or 6 different Honda dealers. I'm going to ask for a manager, for management. I'm going to bring him out and show him my car and look at the odometer in there. Look at that. What better marketing tool do you have than this? How much do you give me for your marketing? And if he gives me more than the face market value of a brand new vehicle, whenever that is, a brand new Honda Accord, if he gives me more, then I'll sell it. But if he doesn't, then I'll say, okay, you give me a brand new one, and you see, it's negotiating power that I've got. I'll give you mine, and you give me a brand new one, and then we'll go from there. That's my plan, okay? But anyway, cars, yes. Eventually, I have value on my car, but it's very little. Sometimes I pray for someone to steal it because it's worth more stolen than, but it is what it is. Boats, campers, ATV, you've got collectibles, furniture, appliances. So it holds value. However, eventually there's either no value or what? Very little value. Talk to you about bucket 3. This is where you need to put your money. This is where you need to focus. What time is my, 9:45, so 10:45? Is that right? Somebody help me with the program. 10:45, okay, so I need to hurry up in here. All right, so 65 or older still have a mortgage, 403Bs or 401Ks. This is where you need to put, what happens is you put your income in here and then all of a sudden, what? It grows. Such as a retirement account, such as a home mortgage, or not a home mortgage, but a home. Because you want that asset to appreciate in value. Bucket 1 and bucket 2 does not. So I bought a home for say, $300,000, and then 10, 15 years later, if you're still employed, right, that home is worth, under normal economic healthy conditions, is worth $450,000. So you've earned equity not only on the $150,000 of appreciation, but also on whatever you've paid down, right, against your balance. You follow me? Okay? Your 401k is important if you're investing. Savings, right? The rule of thumb, I don't know if we'll get to that point, but anywhere from 3 to 6 months. You start with 3 months of savings, you get organized and you quantify. Say this word with me, quantify. Say it. Quantify. What in the world is he saying? Quantify, right? Quantify is account for it. Count, right? So you go back to your spouses tomorrow and say, honey, I'm going to quantify. And you just pull your phone out and take your picture of her face. What did they do to you at the camp? Quantify. What is that? Right? Yeah, and then you explain, we're going to sit down, and by the grace of God, we're going to quantify. Let me explain to you. We're going to crunch the numbers. There are some people that they don't believe in this. They simply say, I know I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to have a dream. And then that's going to serve as the foundation of my finances. And they're 67 and they're still waiting for the dream. That doesn't happen that way. You have to be organized. You have to get organized. And you have to do your part so that the Lord will bless your finances. So, again, take a look at the three buckets in there. This is where we need to put the emphasis on bucket number three. So, which bucket adds to your net worth, we said?
Three.
Bucket three. Which bucket takes away from your net worth? One and two, especially one. Please don't starve to death. So, yes, you still have to, but if you have a budget, you'll know what you're doing because you've got this structure. If you're going to borrow, if you're going to borrow, which bucket would you borrow for?
Three.
Why is that? It's because you're building equity. You're building your net worth, so you have to insure the assets that you own, right? So, yes. Which bucket, last one here, which bucket would you insure? We've already talked about that, okay? So, preparation of a budget. Budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Dave Ramsey. Isn't that right? Don't do it after the fact. Do it the front end, right? So I'm going to, once again, get organized, and I'm going to be disciplined about doing this. Not after the fact. Take a look at this. U.S. average family. 34% goes to housing, 12.4% to food, and then you see the other categories, 17.6% transportation. This is one of those, folks, and I talked about jokingly about my Honda Accord, but when I was treasurer of the Texas Conference a few years back, I had a friend there in the office who owned, I can't remember what the brand was of the SUV, but she came very happy. It was one of these days that she was very bubbly. She came to me and said, Edwin, I'm so happy. I said, well, I can tell. Yes, you are. So what's going on? Well, I'm happy because I'm getting to two payments left to pay off my SUV. I'm telling you, and her husband took great care of her SUV. She didn't, but he did. And that's the way it goes, you know. And even though my wife blames me for saying that, but, you know, I remember when I bought my first car and I found a scratch. It was a Toyota Celica with a spoiler, black, I mean, sunroof. And I, oh, dream car, stick shift, and I graduated, and I just, ooh, thank you, Lord, for providing for a job, and I bought that car. And then all of a sudden, I am washing my car, and I'm, you know, in the back of the car, and in the trunk, right on top of the door trunk, I see a huge scratch. And I tell you, my heart sunk. It was just, oh, what happened? Because, you know, it's beautiful. I would wax it up every couple of weeks. It was beautiful. And so then I asked my wife, what happened here? Was it you? And then she lied. Yeah. Oh, you're recording this, right? You got to be careful. Don't. Just make sure it doesn't get to her. I'll be in trouble. Or just switch the name of the presenter. And that should do it. But so he has it had a scratch on the back. And then later on, I found out that she had bought a used, beat up file cabinet for me. Terrible shape. And she had loaded that on the back of my Toyota Celica, and that's what had done the scratch. And she paid for it like $7. I couldn't believe that. I tell you what, I didn't pray for her. I had a week of prayer for her. It's just amazing. But I'm telling you, so here's what I was telling you. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I'm two payments away from paying off my SUV. I said, oh, congratulations. I mean, that's wonderful. No, yeah, but yeah, that's not the main reason for my happiness. I already have the car that is going to replace, brand new car is going to replace my SUV. Perfect condition. I wanted to buy the car, but I thought about depreciation, and I didn't. She was from payment to payment. Listen, if there's no need for you to replace, especially an item that is on bucket 2, please don't replace it. You know what you ought to be doing? Keep paying the what you were paying for that car or that other liability is what I call it, to yourself. And hopefully we get, man, I'm taking too long in here. Hopefully we get to a depreciation schedule in here. Let me hurry up in here. Successful budgets are well-planned, realistic, flexible, clearly communicated. Please talk to your spouse. Please sit down and talk to your spouse. Because this is why marriages get in trouble. Couples get in trouble. One is better than the other one handling the finances. However, they don't talk to each other. And she wants the Coach purse, and you don't want to buy it for her, right? And then you want, a nice, expensive tie, but she doesn't want you to get it because you don't want to get the Coach purse for her. So then you get into a rub in there, and nobody's happy. So you've got to talk about this among yourselves. Practice the recording of income and expense. Right? Share the details of extraordinary expenses with your spouse. In other words, we're all about love, right? Love. But all of a sudden, unless you're rich, do not show up on your driveway with a brand new car without talking to your wife, even if you put a huge bow on it. Don't. It's all about surprise and love, but major expenditures, you always have to talk to your spouse about. So you want to review your budget if necessary periodically. Don't take a loan for celebrations. Edwin, we're going to, where do you want to go? Aruba? You want to go to Aruba? So all of a sudden you're broke. You're trying to get out of debt, but then you get in front of your computer. It never fails. Something pops up. All-inclusive, Aruba, 7 days, right? Yeah. So I've been working so hard for the past 3 to 4 years, and now I'm going to, someday I'm going to die. I might as well enjoy life now. Well, no one is disputing that. But you have not done your due diligence to set aside the money for that. And then there's an anxiety that gets on you. Man, this is for me. 65% off. 7-day, all-inclusive, Aruba. The 65% of an inflated price, right? But this 65%, it's all about clearance, right? Marketing. And then you don't know what to do about it, but you wrestle with yourself, and you end up buying that all the way. I tell you what, it's a month from now, and the following 4 weeks, you are just so happy. And I mean, you're blessed. I mean, you don't know what to do with yourself. You now go to work with a smile on your face, and wow, this is phenomenal. But so it happens that the trip is around the corner, and you realize, of course, you didn't have the money for it. You realize that because you used your plastic. But now you need new luggage. Yeah, because you can't go with the luggage that you've got in there. It looks terrible. I mean, it's embarrassing to walk into an all-inclusive hotel and then your clothes is, falling off your suitcase. But then your clothes. How can you go out there, front of the beach, and then wearing what you have? You need new clothes, so you go and buy new clothes. Have you crunched? Have you quantified those things? What was the magic word? Quantify. Don't forget. Tell your spouses. And so you're there and you're enjoying. All inclusive, I said, right? So you finally go on your trip. You're enjoying life. And then you sit in front of. And then you snap your fingers and you ask for a piña colada. It's not part of the all inclusive. You've got to pay extra, but you've got to. I mean, you might as well just enjoy life, right? And then 7 days go by, and you fly back, and you feel heavy-hearted, right? It's sad, man. After this, memories and all, pictures and all that, but I feel sad. Hey, it never fails. This is the way it happens. So 3-4 weeks go by, and then you go to the mailbox. You know the mailbox, right? See, yeah, there is a mailbox. All of us have a mailbox. And then you've avoided going to the mailbox for several days. But then you go there and it never fails. You have a stack of mail because you haven't gone. You've avoided going to the mailbox. But it never fails that the credit card statement is always on top of the stack. So you go there trembling and just trying to think, should I or should I not? And you pull it out, and then, the Via Dolorosa walk from the mailbox to the house, it's painful. You don't, right? So you get to the dining table and you open the credit card statement. You look at the balance, and then what's the first thing you say? They got it wrong again. And then you go on, what's the word? The magic word? Then you go and quantify your expenditures out of that statement, and you're wrong, and they're right. Then you're back to the doctor to ask for another prescription for depression, right? So you got to be very careful. Take pen before you take key. Use 10% of your working income to set up. Look at this plan in here. I love it. 10, 70, 20. Use 10% of the working income to set up two funds. All right? An emergency fund equal 3 times your monthly income. A cash buying fund to avoid future problems with overextended debts, right? Okay, take a look at this. Savings accounts, checking accounts, CDs. Some people are into Christmas shopping, right? And if your spouse is on Christmas shopping, on that, well, you want to make sure you set up a Christmas club. savings account so that when Santa Claus is around, right, you can buy gifts for everybody. I tell you, my family, Rick, I don't know if I've told you about this, not my family, but my wife's family. I always blame them, but that's not true. But they're so extensive. I mean, and I've given a budget to my wife for Christmas, right? I know you're not surprised, Rick, but I have. Otherwise, I'm broke. She wants to buy everything for everybody, and I simply cannot afford that. So I said, well, if you want that, then, you know, you'll have to. I'm not a doctor. I'm not one of those, so I don't make a lot of money. So you have to stay with this. What do you save for? Retirement, vacations, emergencies, lifetime savings, depreciation of equipment, etc. Okay, this is something that you must consider, depreciation of equipment. Your equipment, your mechanical equipment, will not run forever. Did you know that? Even your washer, that is 15, laundry washer, is 15 years old, and you know you have to kick it so that it starts and all that, eventually is going to die. And what are you going to have to do? Replace it, right? Have you ever thought about that? It's not only your vehicle. Your vehicle is not even here because I wanted to keep it simple. But you must depreciate for the equipment that eventually you're going to replace, right? And you do it this way. You do a monthly figure. You depreciate, standard depreciation of 3 years. And in 3 years, you end up with, you know, based on this example, 2,628. You see a breakdown. You can put all the equipment that you want in there and end up with your amount. And in 3 years, if something broke down, then you have a fund to draw from to replace what? The equipment. And you don't have to replace it at the end of the 3 years. You don't. If it's working, don't. But in 6 years or 7 years, your refrigerator went down, and now you have to replace it, and then you triple that amount if nothing else has broken, and then now you can buy the refrigerator of, you know, the ones that has a TV, and you get close to it and it gives you a bath and all that stuff. You can buy the most expensive, but you've got money that you've set aside for that. Amen? That's the way you do it. You set up the foundation, structure, and you're organized and you're disciplined in what you do. You know what you do? For savings, do not open a bank account, a savings account, nearby. Right? You want to go to Alaska. Well, don't make a trip to Alaska. But, you know, you want to open a bank account far away. Hey, let me just tell you, I'm high on customer service. Rick, you know this. I'm not one of those customers that would return to a place where they had terrible customer service. For savings accounts, I do. I love bad customer because I don't want to withdraw the funds from there, so I want them to treat me bad, to not want to do it, to say, well, you're gonna have to go through all of this in here before you can pull your money out. Because that's exactly what I want. I don't want to pull my money out. But if you have a bank, if you have a savings account around the corner, and you have your payroll and you save up $100 every month out of your payroll, and then you pull out 97 every month, then that's not going to do it. It's too easy for you. So try to do that. The other 70% you're going to use for what? You can cover the other expenses, tithes and offerings, and the family expenses. Both your mortgage and your car payments should come directly from this category. The other 20% you're going to use to eliminate what? Debt. Yes, get rid of debt. So, listen, you have to intentionally try to get out of debt. Say amen to that. Amen. Intentionally, you need to try to get out of debt. You must. So the way you do it is you plan for it accordingly. Nothing magically is going to happen if you're not budgeting for getting out of debt. Okay? So, where are we here? Don't add to this debt. Of course, you know you want to work diligently. But let's go to I'm short on time in here. Let's go through this very quickly here. Monthly income and expense. This is what I was talking to you about. You have your income less your expenses. You have categories, and this is here's a priority list on your expenses. You can see you need a roof to live under. You've got food. You have your transportation, insurance. And then right here, you have on number 8, entertainment and recreation. If you get to the bottom of this list in here, and you're listing your expenses versus your income, and your expenses exceed your income, what are you going to do? You want to go back, rework your budget until you are what? Balanced. So you're crunching the numbers. You want a balance, right? And you don't want 8 to become number 2 or number 3, right? You want that right there or even below here, 12. So you have to structure yourself in such a way, this is just a zoom in of that, you have to structure yourself so that you know what you're doing. Here's a resource, bankrate.com calculators. You can download that from there. You want to take a picture of that, that's okay. Here's another one. Here's another one here that you can use. You can deal with it.com. You can download that. If you want to use Excel, then you can download an Excel a budget calculator as well. Okay, we want to reduce debt. So the first thing you do is you say no to additional indebtedness. Do not buy anything else on credit. If you don't borrow, you're not going to get in trouble. You want to make a pledge with the Lord starting when? Now, today, as He blesses you, you will liquidate all indebtedness as soon as possible. You want to make a list of your indebtedness, your debts, beginning with the largest and ending with the smallest. You stick them into a triangle. You set the triangle upside down. And what you're going to end up with is you have credit cards at the bottom of that, right? Which, why? High interest. So you pay from bottom to the top. All right? So that's what you want to do, and you want to tackle those aggressively. There's a debt reduction calculator if you want to use that and download it. The debt snowball, that is one of the most common methodologies of using that. But I want you to keep this in your mind. Some individuals, they say, you know what, Edwin, I am so sophisticated that I know what I'm doing. Now, they're up to here in debt, but they know what they're doing, right? And through the years, I'm amazed with the creativity of the human mind, right? So, listen to this. No investment is as safe as a paid what? Debt. Putting your desire to invest in something before paying off your debt is usually a sign of? Ouch, it hurts. But it is, right? Not financial sophistication. Pay off your debts. And don't play around with, I know what I'm doing. I've got this investment going in here. I've got this business going in here. And what I draw from here, I'm going to use to subsidize the payment of this debt. And then you're 65, 67, 70, and then you still, with the mindset of the sophistication of your creative brain, and then you're in trouble because you still have all debt. Okay? I want to take you to this in here. We still have time, and then I'll close on time in here. Take 2 minutes. Close your eyes and talk to the Lord. Hear what God has to say to us, to you, about finances, money, and stewardship. Let's take the next 2 minutes, and then I'll come back and wrap up, and we'll close and conclude the seminar. I want to share with you a plan that makes sense, in my opinion. Eliminate materialism in your life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Eliminate materialism in your life. Totally trust God totally trust God to meet your needs. Simplify your lifestyle. Get totally out of debt. Do not dwell on past financial mistakes and losses. Do not fear your financial future. Trust who? God. Be thankful for what you have. Say amen to that. Amen. Be thankful for what you have. Be accountable to your spouse and he or she to you in mutually agreeing on all financial decisions. Pledge to live within your means. Pledge to live within your means. Focus on God, not on money, things, and security. Use the Bible as the best guideline for financial management and pray together, asking God's guidance before making any major financial decision. So here's what I say. So in tough economic times, if you want true financial freedom, the Bible is a manual and God is the manager. Seek them both and you shall be free. Amen. Any questions? Yes.
Which bucket would you put education in that?
Education is an investment. Okay. Is an investment for your children. I would put it in bucket 3. Yes. Christian education.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Seventh-day Adventist education. I believe in Seventh-day Adventist education.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You want to get into a payment plan to reduce your debts as soon as possible, especially credit card debts, that the average on credit card interest is around 23.5%.
What do you think about a place like Lexington Law where they fix your credit report and all that kind of stuff? Is that a waste of money?
It all depends how much they charge and if they give you a good foundation and structure to and a timeline to reduce your debt. If they're saying it'll take you 15, 20 years, then it's a waste of money. Yeah, it has to be short term because you can't, you know, spend 15 years paying off. Anyone else? Yes.
What do you feel about reverse mortgages?
Reverse mortgages is an interesting topic. It all depends. It's not my favorite thing. It all depends. If you're going to be utilizing your money for specific reasons, especially healthcare, then you may want to consider that. If your legacy plan for leaving things for someone else is it's not an issue for you, then you might as well use your money for your intended purpose. But if you know that you don't care much about a will, having a will in place and inheritances and whatnot to someone else, then you probably want to look into reverse mortgage. Mm-hmm. Especially with health challenges and paying bills for health care. Yes. Yes.
Do you have specifics for that third bucket? You know, with the economy changing and all, sometimes you can lose money in those investments.
Yes, absolutely. For, excuse me one second, here it is. We can't control the economy. We cannot control the economy, but one thing we must be clear about is if you put your money into the stock market, investments, bonds and stocks and equities and commodities and whatnot, you need to be patient and you need to also be careful on a timing on when you're going to pull your money out or not. A lot of people back in 2008 had investments and they have, you know, investments had done quite well. 2008 stock market tanks and they wait, you know, 6, 7, 8 months and the market did not improve. It actually went worse and they pulled their money out, what was left. And that wasn't necessarily the best thing for them to do, having 20, 25 years ahead of them to recoup. But so you got to be very careful. If you're thinking about retirement, you're thinking about, you know, what we call in retirement a glide path kind of a situation. If you're at the top of the glide path, then it means that you're young. If you're toward the end, it means that you have, you know, you're older. So the lower you go on that glide path, the closer you are to retirement, the more careful you have to be on how aggressive you are with those investments so that you preserve your capital as much as possible. So that's the way it is. But under normal economic conditions, you should be safe if you're able to recoup if the stock market goes down. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is there a way we can get the presentation?
Absolutely. Yes, we can make it available. I guess, you know, with Mark.
I'm not sure. How would you get it to him?
Okay. I can get it to you, and I don't know if you can provide it to him.
So on a digital form, you would?
Yes. I can do
email Maryland Men of Faith and ask for it, and we can make sure you get a digital copy of it.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Just the importance of having a financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't have a will, the state will provide that if you don't have one. But.
Absolutely. And that is part of your legacy plan, part of your financial foundation. It is important to have those tools in place. Proverbs 13:7, and I close with this, one of my favorite texts in the Bible. There are some who pretend to be rich, yet they have nothing. There are some who pretend to be poor, yet they have great wealth. May the Lord be with you today and the rest of the Sabbath.
We hope this presentation from the Maryland Men of Faith has been a blessing to you. Your feedback is welcomed. Please visit us at mmof.org.